Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah. There we go. Look at me drinking H2O. Cool, clear, clean.
My favorite pick.
I'm glad you found it. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Wonderful. Hey, welcome back to CCF Podcast. Oh, come on, don't turn me down.
I am coming in hot.
Woo. This has been a hot take Thursday.
That's right.
We have been just cruising. This week has been an amazing week. The last couple of weeks have been intense. Let's just say that. There's an excitement, but there's an intensity that has grown and it's been wild. So, we're following a new. Can you turn me up just a little bit in my own head? I don't want to blow you guys
away. I can't turn you up in your own head.
The voice. You got to drown out the voices in my head, man.
How's that?
Okay, that's okay. That's better. Yeah. Thank you. Cool. I'm good. Yes. Yes, I will do that. Oh, sorry. Okay. Still can hear the other voice.
We have a script this season.
We said last podcast that we are going to kind of follow a little bit of a different program planning. We spent a little bit of time sitting together trying to figure out what we can do to bring some content and help in a lot of different areas through church, for new Christians, for seasoned Christians. And so one of the things we're going to do is each week we're going to highlight a particular area to discuss. This week we are going to be talking about discipleship. And there's all kinds of ways and all kinds of places you can go in discipleship. And oh, there it is. Ah, that sounds good. Thank you. Wow. Sorry, we're just playing around with volume.
No, it's because you stole
what'd I do?
A set of headphones that didn't belong to you, and now they're all messed up on the
those
back.
Those were my headphones.
No, I've always had these ones.
No, those are absolutely your headphones. This one is yours.
Oh, okay. Oh, we've just played like, yeah.
Yeah, you grabbed. You just grabbed Willie.
No, I'm just happy to be here.
I'm sorry. Sorry. So
yours were over there. So those are not your headphones, sir.
There aren't even headphones. I don't even think they're that going. Microphone's real. I think that's a little Tykes microphone.
Yeah, it's not plugged in.
Yeah, you don't even have it plugged in.
Why are you not sitting over there?
Yeah, we're talking about love this week.
Yeah, love. Yeah, love is not on the list this week. We are talking about discipleship. There's all kinds of different things and directions that we can take that, and we'll be highlighting different ones as we progress through the season. However, this week, in regards to discipleship, some of the most important things, or one of the most important things, if you're a new believer, and quite honestly, if you're a seasoned believer, is to be a part of the church, to be plugged in as a member, as an active member, as the body of Christ. I remember just growing up, everyone I ever talked to, any evangelist you ever heard was like, hey, you got saved, you know, grab a Bible and find a Bible-believing church. Like, that's like step one and step two. Like, this is where, that's what you got to do. So so for a number of people, I mean, just speaking for ourselves at Christ Community Fellowship, last Sunday was our second week of doing two services. And I got nervous the second service because as we're playing the first song, people are still coming in and there weren't any seats. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, God, can you give me 2 weeks to not have to set up chairs in the social hall? But thankfully, people were kind and moved in and raised their hand and let people sit in. But there was just an unprecedented amount of new faces and people that have entered into the doors of the church. Morning service, the 8:30, the 10:30. Basically, we're like 100 people more than we've had ever, like in a regular average.
So many people I had no idea.
Yeah, and we know, like, I mean, like we talked about last week. I mean, we know the Charlie Kirk situation. Had drawn, you know, some people probably curiosity or just like, hey, I think it sparked something in a lot of people who were you know, a lot of them, you know, maybe they haven't been to church in a long time. But when, you know, as a culture, we begin to see our beliefs and our faith threatened and like, okay, what's going on? So there might have been that, but there's also, you know, a lot of folks that came in that, you know, this is, they're brand new. They're not even believers at the moment. They're just like, they're looking for answers, answer to the world that's going crazy around them, which is awesome. And we are super, super excited about that. And you know, the weightiness of it, I will continue to speak on, especially with our leadership and our church, because, you know, as exciting as that is, you know, it's really not about the numbers. It's about the people that those numbers represent. And there's a weightiness and a responsibility as a church, as church members, as church leaders, to be like, okay, like, here we go. Like, we need to disciple them. We need to, you know, lead them to Christ. We need to, you know, share the gospel clearly, and so they can understand and be praying for them. And then those who put their faith in Christ, we need to come alongside and walk with them. I mean, there's stuff that has to happen. There's discipleship that needs to go on. But all of that to say, you know, church is a huge aspect. If you're walking with the Lord, then you know this. If you're struggling in your walk with the Lord and you haven't been to church in a while, then here's your chance. You know, like, there's a reason that the body of Christ is called the body of Christ. There's a reason that Christ, you know, has established the church, because Christianity is not a Lone Ranger event. It's not a single sport. We are brought into the family of God. And it's important that you find a Bible believing and I'll add a spirit filled church. And so, you know, that's where we're going to talk about today. Just kind of addressing that, the need for that, why that's important. And maybe even just like what to look for. You know, I mean, it's not a promo just for Christ Community Fellowship. This is a promotion for the body of Christ. Like, you need to be attached to the body of Christ. And so we'll kick it off from there. Matt, he's nodding his head, saying, "I got scriptures all written down, all kinds of places,
all up in here.
Let's share your knowledge, bro."
He says no, but he just came in with like 15 of them.
I know.
I got this one.
I got this. I got this. Yeah.
I've been studying.
Wow. Well, I didn't say I had a format for it. I just said I had some stuff. I mean, when Tobin was just talking about the body, I think Romans 12, it kind of gets into that a little bit with in the middle of the first part of the chapter. Let's see, where is it? Verse 4, right? Just as our bodies have many parts,
yep,
and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Mm. And before that, it says, you know, don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. And so it's kind of like, know your role, stay in your lane, and shut your mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, every part, like the pinky toe doesn't seem like it's significant, but it's there for a reason.
I'd miss it if it was gone.
Yeah, me too. So your foot would look funny. But, I mean, your pinky toe, you think about what the job the pinky toe has and the job your tongue has. Very different. But they're important.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking. Yeah. I didn't know where you were going with that. Like, are we going to lick our toes? Like, what's happening here? What's...
I know. It's kind of some definitely opposite, like,
things. Opposite ends of the spectrum.
Where are we going?
Yeah, no, it's...
Your tongue and your toes, you know? Like, yep. Yeah, they are different.
I hang out with 8 through 11-year-olds all day. I mean, what do you expect from me right now? It's...
But you're right. I mean, you know, all throughout the scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:27 says the same thing. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Mm. And yeah. How you're the body of Christ now. When do you become the part of the body of Christ? When you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, when he has saved you, he's redeemed you, you're a child of God, you are a part of the body of Christ. And it would be weird. I mean, if you were walking down the street and you saw a severed pinky toe, and we'll stay with the pinky toe theme.
Yeah.
It's like you know, like there's something terribly wrong. Something really wrong happened to somebody. There's right. Like, and you know, it's only so much time that you can live. I mean, that the little pinky toe can live, right, not attached to the body.
Right.
You know, and that's why I think, just so we, the body can live without the pinky toe.
Yeah.
Maybe not successfully, or, you know, it would make our shoes feel weird, and, yeah, and we maybe not be able to walk as well as, right, we could. But in honesty, I mean, you know, and sadly, most churches have figured out how to live as amputees. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there, yeah, there are large parts of the body that are not in the church. And so we learn how to, like, okay, I'm living without, you know, the church is making it without one arm and a leg. And, but, you know, we're limping along, but, right, how amazing would it be if there was an entire body put together, right, that, you know, everyone was doing what they are called to do. Like, yeah, like Roman said, you know, like, we all have these particular gifts and abilities, and man, if we're all functioning, right, in the roles and places that we belong in the body, it would be amazing.
Well, I think, and that's some of the reason why, like, you see a lot of church growth, you see a lot of things that happen in some of these churches, because they start functioning in the full body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They start functioning the way that God wants them to function. They're not, yeah, functioning as amputees. A lot of, like, when you, right, get people in there and they think that everybody needs to be, you know, we'll go with the pinky toe. Everybody needs to be the pinky toe.
Yeah.
Or everybody needs to be the head, and everybody needs to be the heart. And you, right, can only have one head, right?
Right.
Right.
So everybody, right, thinks that's their role, right, quote unquote. Oh, I'm going to be, you hear it all the time, I'm going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, yeah, everybody, if everybody's the hands and feet of Jesus, that's weird.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Because, I mean,
because that's a lot of hands. Jazz hands. Like, we're going to.
When you've got another person who has, like, pinky toe faith.
Yeah.
But they're trying to be the right arm.
Right.
I mean,
right,
like, just, come on. You have someone, like, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Right. It's not supposed to be.
You gotta really just accept your role and realize that no matter what your role is,
absolutely,
it all serves a purpose. And if, yeah, and if you want the role that puts you front and center, and, like, to me, you gotta kind of reevaluate where your attitude is. And but you also have to know, like, with bigger jobs come bigger responsibility. You're more in the target. And you got to be able to back that up and be ready for that fight, because it ain't all reward, no risk. There's,
yep. Oh, absolutely. I go back. You said a word, purpose, mm-hmm, and I think if we go back to just the whole idea of discipleship and why we would tell new believers or just believe, like, get into a Bible believing church, because I think as Christians, in particular, like, that's the best and first place you can learn your purpose, mm-hmm, in Christ is when, right, when you're connected to the body, you know, because everybody's like, oh, what's my purpose? And, yeah, you know, well, I can probably tell you right now, like, most people's purpose is serving in 100%. The body of Christ in the church. And as you serve, you have others that are seeing, like, what you're doing. They're able to come alongside you. They're able to build you up and encourage, mm-hmm, you. And you move from, you know, hey, maybe you're just scrubbing toilets, but you're doing it with, you know, all the vigor that you can, because you're able to do it, to, like, wow, this person is committed. This person is ready to, you know, they're showing growth. They're showing these things. And it goes from that to, you know, whatever, just the next phase up, or leading someone else to Christ and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think there's a big reason where, you know, if you're sitting around and trying to figure out, well, I don't know what my purpose is. One of the purposes is that you become a part of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And then within that, you find your purpose,
right?
You find your godly purpose. I mean, there's all kinds of, like, you know, we're all called to different vocations, occupations, career choices, all that kind of stuff. And that's great. But, like, the eternal purposes of God, the things of about the kingdom of God, are really discovered when you're a part of the body of Christ.
And God does not bless idleness. So I think that, like, if you want to know your purpose, mm-hmm, like, and you hear it a lot, like, what is my purpose? Just like you said, but they don't move from anywhere.
Yeah.
They just think that their purpose is going to fall into their lap,
right,
and magically appear. This is my purpose. Well, you know what? In the doing is where you find your purpose.
Right.
So in the movement of serving, of right. serving in any capacity, that's your, you find your purpose. You will find what God will right. speak to you in that. But yeah. he is not going to bless laziness and idleness.
Right.
He's not doing it. You know? So I think God does not want what consumer Christians.
Right. And yeah, and unfortunately, we become churches have fallen into that over the years. You know, we're always like, hey, you know, the seeker sensitive, the you know, like let's make it all about the person coming in. Mm-hmm. Right. And then it's like a bait and switch. Like, okay, now you're in, but we're actually like, now you got to, like, you know, and it's like, hey, that's not
right.
Let's how about we make it about Christ and then find your way through
right.
that.
Because if always when you walk in, and that's one of the things, like if somebody's looking for a Bible believing church, someplace that preaches the gospel, the very first thing, do they preach Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Christ crucified, risen again. That's the main thing. You know, he's coming back. If that's there, like you can kind of handle some of the other stuff, right. but that right there, if you're not getting that, if you're not hearing that, you know,
yeah.
and if they're not willing to allow you to put boots to the ground and mm-hmm. serve, then you need to find a new place to go.
Yep.
Because any church that has people in their church, leadership that doesn't want to allow you or won't allow you to serve or to move forward, they only want consumer Christians
right. mm-hmm.
and they only want you for one thing, and that's your pocketbook
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Yep. Yeah. You just sit quiet, keep paying. But
and most of them just like to listen to themselves talk. Yeah. So like yeah. it's not about Christ. It's about they're building their kingdom. They're not building the kingdom of God.
Right.
So just like general like things to keep in mind as you go to church, like as you go and you start looking, if you've never been, you start going, you know, put it through that test, you know. Yeah, right. Is Christ preached? Is yep. he preached crucified and rose again? You know, is he glorified? Mm-hmm. You know, do we magnify him?
Right. Yeah.
And
you're right.
Do they put me to work? Are they yeah. will they allow me to do something? Can I even come in here and do anything?
Right. Growing, yeah. Encouraging yeah, you to serve I, and
right.
and find yeah. your purpose, right. find
can,
your place.
Can yeah. I lead a Bible study? Or can I be a part of a Bible study that right. even like I know some places that the pastor and the pastor's wife are the only ones who lead the Bible study. You don't do that. You mm-hmm. can't do that. You're not spiritual enough to lead that Bible study.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to that church.
Right.
I think you talked about like testing, and I think you know some of the questions. Just so we have like when we say okay, find a Bible believing, Christ preaching, Spirit filled church, you know, and you don't need people are going to listen to this, and you don't need to write this stuff down. But these are important things to. So I'm just pulling up like our church doctrine. Like this is what we believe in, and I can tell you most Protestant churches, you know, we come from a Baptist background, so it might sound more Baptist-y, but, you know, we believe in the Scripture. We believe the Old and New Testament to be inspired and the only infallible and authoritative Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when we say Bible-believing, it's by God, it's, you know, it's about God, and we hold, you know, if your life, if your lifestyle, if what you think you want to do doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you're wrong, right? If the way you live doesn't match the Word of God, like the problem isn't the Word of God, it's you, and that's what we believe. We believe there is one God. We believe, you know, he is eternally existing in three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We believe in the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that he is God. You know, that's an important aspect. There are some denominations, but most of them are cults like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses that, yeah, they believe in Jesus Christ, But he's not God. He was maybe an angel sent from God. He was created by God. Created by God, but he is not God. And that's not like that's not a Bible believing church. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is both fully man and fully God, and that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that we believe in his miracles, his atoning death through his shed blood, his bodily resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and in his personal future return to this earth in power and glory to rule over the nations. Hallelujah. We believe that man is created good and upright in the image of God, but man voluntarily sinned and thereby incurred both physical and spiritual death, which is separation from God. It's an easy way to say that is like, yeah, God created us initially good. Mm-hmm. Sin came in. We are not good. We are sinners and in rebellion to God. Mm-hmm. We believe in that the regeneration by the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to salvation. We believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's separate and distinct from the Godhead, Father, Son, and Son. We believe in the resurrection and judgment of both the saved and the lost, mm-hmm. That they are saved unto the resurrection of life and that they are lost unto damnation, which is the second death. We believe that the church is the body of Christ. Each believer born of the Spirit is a part of the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. These are all comes from Scripture. And we believe that baptism of adults, persons of the age of accountability, and the Lord's Supper are the two ordinances instituted by our Lord. You know, and other churches will have similar doctrine if they are truly a Bible-believing, Christ-centered church. Those are some of the things that you're going to—I appreciate it. I remember I'll throw a shout-out to Megan and Corey Caudill many years ago before they started coming to the church. I had no idea who they were, and they sent me this long email. What do you believe about this? What do you believe about that? What do you believe about Jesus? And I was like, this is great. I wasn't offended in any way. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, we want to come check your church out, but we want to know, like, what about this? What about that? And literally, basically, what is our doctrinal statements on these things? And I thought, that's awesome. Like, that's doing your due diligence, defining a church that's like, yes, we can join forces with this. And they've been wonderful members and active members in the church ever since. But so obviously I passed the test and answering the questions, which is good.
That is good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
Thank you.
Also like Galatians 1:6-10, everything you just said, right? I mean, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Paul doesn't mix words. He's very clear about the good news.
Yes.
And how the good news should be the only thing that is preached.
Yep.
And if there's anything about the good news, then God's curse is going to fall upon you.
Absolutely.
And I like how he ends it in verse 10, where he's like, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God.
Right.
If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, in other words, sorry, not sorry. If you find this offensive, you're not doing what you should be doing. Get into the Bible, read God's word, preach the good news.
Right.
Yeah. And
You can't blame it on somebody else. Like if we don't do our due diligence, mm-hmm. you can't blame it on somebody else that, oh, I was deceived or I was like, well, he fooled me. No. It's your responsibility. It's our responsibility. Yeah. And we have a responsibility to the people who've never stepped into a church.
Yep.
Yeah.
To preach that, to live that, to be that.
Yep.
You know, they need to see even more than.
Right. And you know, I think it's. I was thinking about it earlier today. And like, yes, we want to encourage people to find a Bible-believing church that preaches the Word of God. But as I said earlier, it's as important to know that they're a Spirit-filled church, mm-hmm. because you can walk into a church that is Bible-believing and preaches the word, but there's no love, there's no Spirit moving there, and so what you're gaining knowledge, which isn't bad. You're just gaining knowledge. You're gaining more and more, mm-hmm. and you know when you recognize the Spirit of God moving, and because I think that's how we function at our church. It's like, yeah, the word of God is hard. I mean, it's tough. And, you know, I don't get all giddy about, oh, good, I get to like talk about, you know, your whatever, your lifestyle and your decision, your bad decisions. And I love to tell you that you're sinners and going to hell unless you turn. That's like in your face, like, here you go. But because of the Spirit of God that resides in us and we want the Spirit to flow, you know, there it comes with love. You know, it comes with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And, you know, every person that I have talked to in the last month who's new, who's come in these doors, before a song has been sung, before a word has been preached, they felt love. Mm-hmm. Coming yes. in here.
Yep.
They felt like, and that is not manufactured. That is not something that we know how, we got this, like, yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to meet you at the door and we're going to have certain people smile a certain way and wink. And it has nothing to do with that. It's like the Spirit of God is doing something. He was residing in this place through prayer and through, I mean, you know, our hearts have been pouring out for the lost for years. And so when people come in and I'm like, that's the best. Like that is the best acknowledgement. That's the best thing I could hear. Yeah. Like they walked in and they felt love.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And I mean, that's awesome.
You got to give another shout out though. I mean, our guy, Jarrett,
he's
Jarrett,
on point.
That is his role.
We found his gift.
Like, well, yeah. Jarrett.
The thing that's awesome about that, like Jarrett, yeah. And I don't mean to cut you off, man.
No, that's fine. I can come back.
No, go for
it. No, you go roll.
All right. The thing about like Jarrett, like a lot of us that are at this church, it is not who we are.
No.
Naturally.
Right.
Like that love that comes out, like, is not who we are naturally. So you get to see supernatural spiritual acts happening every day when you walk into this church. Yep. I don't care what day it is you show up.
Yeah.
There's supernatural stuff going on.
Yep.
You know, like, and it may not be the big grandiose things that you think, but it's the ones that matter.
Yep.
It's the ones that really matter. Like, we could have big shows of stuff, but I would rather see the hearts changed of people. Absolutely. And the people, like, yearning for more of Christ.
Right.
And then showing more of Christ in them as people come in and generally loving on people.
Right.
And
that's
what we're seeing. Like, let's say that's a culture that we have. That's who we are. That's our DNA as a church is we're just going to love on you.
Yep.
We don't care who you are. We're going to love on you. We don't like some of the stuff you do. I don't like some of the stuff I do, but let's, you know, we're going to love on each other.
I don't like some of the stuff you do.
Yeah. Well, I don't like you. So
God's working on it. Come on, man. Jump in, man. Don't just leave me hanging like that. Dude, I thought you had my back, man.
Cricket.
Oh,
there we go.
Thank you.
So it's just like to see that, you know, people come in and you say, you know, Spirit-filled.
Yeah.
And it's gotten a bad rap when we say Spirit-filled. When we say Spirit-filled, we see miracles every day, all the time, every Sunday. When there's a non-believer that walks into this church, we're seeing miracles.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are.
And just the fact that we're in here is all miracles.
It's a miracle. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, like, you got to call it for what it is and stop trying to look at the big stuff and forget that God done doing
there
little
is,
stuff.
Yeah, because there is a balance. I mean, there is I don't even call it a balance, but there are churches who solely focus on like that the fundamental, like this is the word of God. And hey, there are people that need that and they can grow in that and whatever. And you know, but sometimes it's just hard. And then there are churches who they're all about the Spirit, all about, you know, like, hell, we're gonna come on the Holy Spirit. And sadly, unfortunately, over the years, some of them like, hey, that's not really even biblical. Like some stuff that they start teaching because they got way off. So you gotta marry those two together. When you marry the Word of God to the Spirit of God, who literally inspired the authors of the book, it's like, oh yeah, this flows and it works, and you can understand, you get the understanding from the Word. You know what God's desire and His purpose and His will is for you, and then you're filled with that. Love and that Spirit of God.
There's so much substance to that.
Oh, my word.
Like, and I had that conversation today. Like, I had the conversation about, you know, the person I was talking to was like, you know, the Spirit, you know, is there and, you know, people are doing this and that. And I'm like, but are you changed?
Right.
Like, is there a change? Right. Like, where the Spirit of God is, there is change. And so there's so much focus, like you said, on the spirit moving right. that they almost push it and manufacture. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say manufacture because who am I to say what they're doing?
Right.
But they push it in such a way that they forget the fact that when you meet God, when you meet the spirit, when Spirit of God is here and you meet God, you don't leave the same. Every person in the Bible that ever either wrestled with God or met God, they did not leave going, oh, that was nice, and walk away.
Yeah. Right.
They met, they left changed.
Matt, do you got something? Because I'm going to take it to another question here.
Oh, you weren't going to go to Galatians 5 first?
No, go for it. Do it.
I mean, it's just because we're talking about the Spirit and the Bible power
man,
of the Spirit.
Let's do it.
Right?
You're the Bible man today. Bible man, so bring it.
In Galatians 5, 16 through 26, if you read that whole section, there's a lot in there. But just to pull out, like, it tells you very clearly, if you are not living in the Spirit, then your flesh is going to go to sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins. So there's still more. But if we... if we are living in the Holy Spirit and we're listening to what the Spirit of the Lord tells us, then we have the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things, right? Woo! All right. So, it continues on a little bit about all of it, and it's right with us. And again, it's what you see in those Bible-believing church. When you come in, instantly, love. And that's one of the biggest things I talk about here. Yeah. Isn't this not because I'm like, oh, our church better? No, like, it's the same thing. We just want people, like, in church where there's love, where there's the preaching of Jesus. But one thing you can say at 43 Maple Street, there's love. You're greeted with a smile. And, yeah, don't run away from Jarrett.
No.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. But he's got a smile. He's probably going to hug you.
Yeah.
And but he's got to at least give you a handshake.
And he's put a great team of other people together.
Oh, he absolutely has. So good. Everybody. And,
they're wonderful.
Yeah,
it's
every great. Single one of them. You see the growth in them.
Happy
you see
to see
the change in them. You see, I love it. I just love it because you know that God is moving. You know that God is
right.
Is changing.
There is a guy on that hospitality on the hospitality team that he hated people. Several for a long time, and people just thought he was just an angry, hateful man. And he will greet you with a smile, whoo. The Lord moved in his heart, and he's just like, I want to it's just like, man, he wants to welcome people in, and if you knew him from the past, you're like, what? Like, he's at this church, yikes, he's going to love you, and he's going to welcome you in, and it's awesome. So, you see that change and transformation. But, so here's the question, okay? Because this is the thing that people will hear. Yeah, but, Pastor, like, aren't we, like, just, like, do we not have to go to church? Because we are the church. Right? That's always a big thing. Like, we're supposed to be the church. Like, we don't, the church isn't a building. It's just, we should just be the church. So I don't need to go to a building. What do you say to that?
What do I say to that? Oh, okay. Yeah. So we're like the temple, and this comes because my wife's really studied into like the Hebrew and throughout that. So, people do that. We are the church. We are the temple. You know, our body's a temple. You know, but no, we're just a piece of a larger whole.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're a stone. Jesus is the cornerstone. Mm-hmm. We are a stone in the temple. So we are. If without that, the church is lacking. The temple is lacking. Yeah. If we're not in where we need to be, so there's a lot of lacking churches because people that know the Bible, that they know and they're supposed to be walking in it, but they may have been church hurt or they just fall away. I don't need to go to church because I am the church.
Right.
You know, it's bull. It's a lie of the enemy to try to keep you from church, to fulfill the destiny that God has called you to, the purpose and plan that God has called you to, and to keep you out of it. And so that a church is not being blessed by the fact that you're there and they cannot fulfill their mission, their goal, their purpose, because they're lacking body parts to get there.
Yep.
Right.
A bad game of Jenga.
Bad game of Jenga. And you're
yep.
the missing piece.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to topple.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think the premise a lot of times is, you know, a call to action, right? Like it's a, you know, like we're going to be the church, and what is the church? Yeah, but it's in the church. You know, I said a while back, like it's being in the body of Christ. It's being with brothers and sisters in the Lord that you learn to one another, right? I mean, the Paul is all about, like, we need to learn how to love one another, forgive one another, bear each other's burdens, carry, you know it's like, and you don't do that by yourself. You don't do that on your own. How do you one another anything when you're not with another?
You can't.
Right. So, I mean, it's a lie that the enemy likes to throw in there that, I can just do church, in my fishing boat or up on my, golfing on a Sunday. And, it's like, okay, but where are you one anothering?
Yeah.
Well,
and every nothing's easy, but I mean, it's so much easier when you have a bunch of people that are all in the same thing you're in and you're all encouraging each other. I mean, I remember when you started, like, man, you need to come to men's night. You need to come to men's night. Mm-hmm. Then you just kept saying you need to come to men's night. Nah, maybe next week. Yeah, maybe next week. I didn't realize how much I was missing until after that first night that I came, and then I was like, wow,
yeah,
this is different. Because you've got like 35, 40 other guys, all varying stages of life, that are all coming to talk about the same thing. And don't even go there. Come on, let's move past that. Okay?
Oh, go on.
No, we're not going back.
Just go ahead.
So, but...
First, private joke. Sorry,
I can't even now. I can't.
Sorry, man.
Sometimes these guys make it hard to one another. Oh man, I get no respect.
Where are we going? Sorry, man.
I don't even know. Where are we going with that? I'm completely lost now. I was going somewhere good. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. It's just like when you're out there and you're like, I don't need church. We are the church. No, you're trying to do it lone wolf style. How'd that work for anybody? Right. It doesn't. You break down. You have no defense. You have no one coming to your rally cry. You have no one that knows what you're going through. No one that you're close with. And if you're like, well, I got my spouse. Well, sometimes your spouse might need a break from you, or you might need someone else to be like, hey, I did something I need to talk about. Yeah. Like, and you have to have that other piece. I mean, we talk about that all the time, iron sharpening iron. And you don't get that the same. I mean, there are ways that, again, I'll talk about Josh. Like, there are ways that Josh speaks to me that's different than the way that my wife speaks to me, because he doesn't mix words. And he'll just be like, dude, nope, that's wrong. You need to do this. I'm going to pray with you right now, but this is what it has to be. And boom, done. And that's iron sharpening iron.
Yes.
Because it's done in love. It's not done in front of them. It's all done with purposeful intent to grow me. And
can I throw a Bible verse in there now? That you just walked right into it. You ready? I know you're the Bible guy, but can I throw one in?
Yeah.
And it won't be Proverbs 5.
But oh my goodness! Come on.
It's Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17 says, and obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So literally he's saying being part of a church is for your protection as an individual. I mean, you know, it's like we get all, you know, because we're Americans, we get like obey and submit. No, we don't. We get like, we get a little upset about that. But it's they're in charge. They're protecting. They're watching over your soul. You know, like there's a reason for that. And man, like when people step away and like, I don't need it anymore. It's like they're putting themselves out. Like you said, like you're a lone wolf, and lone wolves die.
they do.
They left the pack. The pack leaves them, and they don't make it.
Well, and I think, of course, a lot of people, you know, as the minute you say submit or obey, they just like you said. Right. But I think what we forget is every single person, man, woman, child, submits to something.
Absolutely.
Always. Yep. You're always submitting to something. Whether you want to admit it or not, right. You submit to your job. Mm-hmm. You submit to your husband, wife. You submit to your friends. You submit to this or that. You always are submitting to something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you don't come to church or you don't be a part of the body and you know better, you submit to Satan instead of God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're submitting to something. You're going to... Bob Dylan had a song, going to serve somebody.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
You're going to serve somebody. Right. It doesn't matter what which way you go, but you're going to serve somebody. Yeah. And it's all... choose you this day whom you'll serve. Mm-hmm. Joshua, and as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to be.
Yep. Need to be in his house, man.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. One other verse. I'm going to throw one more at you.
Okay? Yeah.
So, and I don't know if you have this one on your list.
Are you the new BG?
Yeah.
Bible guy.
So 1 Timothy 3:15. He says, if I am delayed, Paul's writing to Timothy, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. So he's writing this letter, that's why, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. I read that this morning. I was like, you know, what he's saying is like being part of a church teaches Christians, first of all, how to live, right? How to conduct themselves, but how to live. And it also keeps us from drifting from the truth. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't matter what size of the church you're, you know, like that has nothing to do with that, you know, but you, if you're a new believer specifically, then you want to learn, like, this is all new to you. Like, I'm saved. I'm a new creation in Christ. My sins have been washed away. Now what? Right. Like, well, it's in the household of God. It's in the body of Christ that you learn how to conduct yourself. Like, there's a new way to live. There's a new way to begin thinking about, like you said, like, about your family, about your marriage, about your job, about, like, what's important. You know, there's a whole new way. And Paul is spending multiple letters to Timothy telling him, hey, you need to know this stuff so that if I can't make it to you, you'll be able to teach everyone how they need to conduct themselves.
Yeah,
that's right.
And then stick to the, you know, and be able to stick to the truth and know the truth. And so, you know, that's the role of the church. And I think sometimes we get it confused. And I know you're gonna throw in Ephesians 4 here in a minute, but maybe not. But, you know, God has given the church. He's given us, you know, apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers, you know, to equip the saints.
Yep. For the work of the ministry.
For the work of the ministry. Well, the work of the ministry. So the church is not the work of the ministry. Like that's it's out there. Like, right. You know, our job is to equip so that, you know, Joe and Amy and Sue and Larry can go where they are. They'll be equipped for the work of the ministry is out there. It's out, right. You know, like we said, this is the huddle.
That's the game.
The church is the huddle. The world is the game. You know, we come in here, we're going to equip, we do all that stuff. And, you know, and that's the joy. That's the, you know, the responsibility of the church. But yeah, the ministry is really taking place outside these walls.
Absolutely.
And, you know, but you,
where it should be taking
absolutely.
Place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because there's a hurting and dying world mm-hmm. that there are so many people
yeah.
that are on their way to hell right now. Mm-hmm. If we do not do something,
right.
If we do not act, if we do not get our crap together,
yep.
You know, we need to get the game plan, get mm-hmm. what God wants us to do, get equipped, and start getting about His business.
Yeah. And let me add to that, like, there are people, too many people now, currently living in a hell.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because of their own, sometimes because of their own horrible choices that they've made, and sometimes because of things that have just been done to them. And for you as well, you know, that's what the church is for. Like, yeah. we want to be able to introduce you to Jesus Christ, who is the chain breaker. He is the healer of broken wounds, of trauma, of all that stuff. And, you know, you can experience that little piece of heaven right here on earth
mm-hmm.
as you enter into that relationship with the body of Christ. And so it's important.
Is it Luke, he says, come, I'll give you rest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All you who are weary and heavy laden. Yeah. That scripture for the past 2 days has been just so heavy on me.
Yeah.
Come and I will give you rest.
Yeah.
Take his yoke upon you.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
There you go.
I don't know. You got another scripture? Because, I mean, we're at 45 right now.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess
I'm
we
good.
Could.
I don't know what else any other tidbits off the head of the principal in charge?
No.
No. It's good. It's good.
Well, the old PIC. I think we ought to just pray for the people listening. Absolutely. Pray for the people that Let's are not, it. That maybe be, go for
Before
it.
Before we do that, can I actually say one thing?
You can actually say
with
more
prayer.
Than
so
one
like,
thing.
I mean, yeah. I had, yeah. I mean, it just made me think of this with an encounter I had this summer with the person that's like, I've never prayed before.
Mm.
So like, as Josh is getting ready to pray us out, like, if you've never prayed before, there's really, the cool thing about prayer is like, we're praying to an almighty God that knows everything.
Amen. Yeah.
So he already knows what you're about to lay down. Yep. It doesn't matter how dressy your words are. Like, he already knows. It's just humbling yourself and submitting yourself to his authority.
Yeah.
That you can't do this on your own. You're putting it before him and you're saying it out loud. Yeah. When you put those words out there and you say them, whether you're saying them to God or you're saying them to another person, you can't take those words back. Yep. And so it makes it real and it makes your atonement real. And so just talk to God. And however it comes out is how it comes out. But like, he knows the heart.
Right.
It doesn't matter about the words, right?
Mine aren't going to be pretty, so I mean, I'm just going to let it rip.
No, so yeah, let's go. Let's
do it.
Let's go.
Let's go.
God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you give us a way, Lord, that you've pointed the way. Lord, I ask right now for every single person that's listening, Lord, that can hear my voice, Lord, can hear our voices, Lord, that you would just touch their bodies, Lord. Yes. That you would spark in them a fire, Lord, for you. Lord, that they would have a desire, Lord, that they would, if they're not in church, Lord, that they would seek a church out so that they could grow. Lord, if they're in a place, Lord, that they're not able to grow, Lord, that they're not able to do work, Lord, that they would find a place where they could plant, Lord. Lord, we know the time is short, Lord. The harvest is plenty. Lord, we pray over the Lord of the harvest right now. We pray, Lord, that you would just send workers, Lord. And if those people are out there listening, Lord, that you would just continue to just move on them, Lord. We pray for healing on those that are wounded, Lord, that they would be healed by you, Lord, that you would touch them. We give you the glory, Lord, for all things. We magnify you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.